org. The little things we do every day could be a big indicator of how our brains are faring with the passage of time, because when those little things change, it could be because our brains are changing, and doctors and researchers will take any edge they can get in figuring out when people are developing indications of either Alzheimer's disease or mild cognitive impairment, or MCI. We're about to talk to a researcher at the Layton Aging and Alzheimer's Disease Center at Oregon Health and Science University. Dr. Adriana Seely just won a grant from the Alzheimer's Association to focus on routine tasks. Dr. Seely, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Please tell us about the kinds of research you do on a regular basis.
Yes, so we at the Layton Center are very interested in examining how people carry out their everyday activities, such as how often they use their computer, how they're taking their medications, their telephone use, walking speed, because these types of activities have been shown to be really sensitive to the changes that could be indicative of abnormal brain functioning, such as the development of a neurodegenerative disease like Alzheimer's. So we are using technologies to try to get a better understanding of these types of early changes that could identify people who are at high risk for these types of diseases with aging.
And not surprisingly, because we're talking about medical things, there's an acronym that goes in here. Is this REAL, Routine Activities of Everyday Life?
Yeah. Yes, Routine Everyday Activities of Life. So this is it's kind of a new paradigm or a new way of testing for Alzheimer's disease and cognitive or memory and thinking changes that occur with it, because we are taking cognitive assessment out of the clinic, out of the standard doctor's office, and taking that into people's homes as a way of trying to get a better understanding and an earlier insight into these very first changes that occur, because we believe that the very early changes that occur, if we pick those up sooner rather than later, we could really be at a good point to intervene and to administer effective treatments when they become available, because oftentimes when people come into a doctor's office complaining of problems with memory or thinking changes, it's often at a point where the disease has progressed quite a bit, and at that point there's less that we are able to do.
And so how long has research like this been going on to look at the everyday tasks, the things that happen outside the clinic?
It's really brand new. We're really excited about it. Up until, you know, just very recently in the last couple of years, most all cognitive testing and research in cognitive testing has been done in the clinic, in just doing standardized paper and pencil memory tests, which are definitely good and they really do work. But we're just finding more and more that there are some limitations. And so with advancing technologies that we have, with being able to use more advanced computers and sensors to really monitor people's everyday tasks, we are able to now get into people's homes in a non-obtrusive way. So we're not using video cameras or anything like that would invade on privacy, but we're able to really get a better sense of how people are doing in their everyday lives with this advanced technology. So it really just has been in the last couple of years.
How well, though, are you able to set apart things like walking speed changing because my hips hurt versus, you know, this could be a sign of something with the brain?
Mm-hmm. Well, the key to this type of monitoring technology is that it's not just a one-time kind of snapshot of how someone's doing, but we want to put this technology in people's homes and have it there for a long period of time so we can really monitor changes over time, and we believe that the longitudinal nature of that assessment will be able to help tease apart some of these other types of medical or maybe emotional or psychiatric problems that could cause changes in everyday activities such as walking speed versus the more kind of gradual, slowly progressive types of brain disorders that we're interested in finding. So we have shown that with this longitudinal nature of assessment, we are able to really tease apart some of those things.
It sounds like it's a good confirmation of things that people already suspect, but rather than having somebody say, you know, Bert, I think he's a little slower these days, you have numbers then to say, yes, it is in fact going on.
Right, exactly. So this is an objective, quantitative measure that we're hoping will be able to help medical providers, you know, eventually one day, to be, this type of information could be used along with other types of tests to help provide objective evidence that there is a problem going on.
Dr. Adriana Seely is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a postdoctoral research fellow in neuropsychology at the Leighton Aging and Alzheimer's Disease Center at Oregon Health and Science University. You can join us as we talk about the processes that they're going through to look for changes in routine activities of everyday life or real. And join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Given the concerns about Alzheimer's disease and its likely expansion with an expanding senior population, are grants fairly easy to come by for things like this?
They are, they're getting to be, thankfully there's more attention and more acknowledgement, in general about Alzheimer's disease and the huge public, health, concerns that come along with it. So with that, we are seeing an increase in funding. So the grant that I received from the Alzheimer's Association, is really fantastic, and they have a wonderful, national grants program to promote basic and, applied clinical research to advance our understanding of Alzheimer's disease and ways to detect and treat the disease. And then at a federal level, the National Institutes of Health and the National Institute on Aging have recently been putting through legislation to increase the amount of grant funds that could be designated for specifically for Alzheimer's disease research. So it is becoming a little bit easier to come by grant funds for this type of research, because there is just more attention and acknowledgement about the significance of this problem.
Now, with this particular grant, what's the next step? What do you do now?
Well, we are working to develop these tools to monitor seniors' aspects of seniors' computer use and telephone use over time. So we're going to monitor folks for about 18 months and really see if we can develop objective measures that will be indicative of cognitive decline associated with an incipient dementia. And then once we have data and we have information on this, then we're going to take it to the next level and try to apply it to a larger population of seniors. So for the current study that I'll be looking at, it will just be looking at 30 older adults who have mild cognitive impairment and 30 adults who have just normal cognitive function. And then eventually we would like to expand that so we can look at a larger population of people and then for a longer period of time so we can really get a better sense of what types of changes in everyday activities are absolutely predictive of going on to develop dementia.
So at that point, that really is one of the major tasks ahead, is just to figure out which ones are a good indicator.
Yes, that's right. We are trying to figure out what are the best indicators, what are the best measures. So this really is cutting edge research, because we are actually developing the tests, developing the measures that I think are going to become really potentially gold standard measures of the future.
Dr. Seely, just a wild guess here. Does the advent of so many different kinds of consumer electronics help you a bit, because there are more places that people would click on screens or touch screens and things that register activity?
Yes, absolutely. With the advancement of home computing technologies, with computers and laptops and tablets and smartphones, all of those different methods allow us kind of a window into observing people's everyday functioning. So whether it's touching on their touch screen on their tablet or using their mouse, are developing, we have the computing and the computer science expertise to be able to really tap into those types of activity use and develop objective measures to really get a sense of what is going on and what changes in those types of patterns might be important.
It seems like if any study is longitudinal enough, I don't know if that's an actual phrase, but that you might want to start getting baselines at age 30, at age 40, before the possibility of early onset or decline in cognitive ability, just to get a baseline established.
Right, right. Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, evidence has shown that changes in the brain and changes in people's activity occur decades before any clinical significant symptoms emerge for Alzheimer's disease. So yes, I think getting a baseline as early as possible is important, because what we really are interested in looking at is individual change. And that's, I think, where the power of this type of technology is. It's not comparing people to, you know, their neighbor or to another person their age, but it's really comparing them to themselves over time and looking for important changes over time. That's the power of this type of technology and this type of assessment.
Let's take a call. We have Don in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about experiments to measure for decline in cognitive ability with Dr. Adriana Seely at Oregon Health and Science University. Hi, Don.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Mom is 96. She lives in Portland. She does not have Alzheimer's, I don't believe, because she still knows who we are. But man, she has some wild ideas, like she was sure that her parents were coming to visit her. And, you know, my question is, since your guest seems to know a lot about dementia, do we try to straighten her out on some of these crazy ideas she's got, or just let it go?
All right, good question. Thanks for that, Don.
John. Yeah, that's a good question, and that's, I think, something that commonly comes up. And I think that sometimes it's just best to kind of go along with it, and it can save frustration on both ends. If you've tried, or if people have tried to kind of, you know, reason, and that doesn't really seem to help, then it can just be sometimes best just to kind of let it go, as long as it's not really posing any type of a problem in terms of safety or anything like that.
Let's establish a couple things here, because we have talked about mild cognitive impairment, or MCI, Alzheimer's disease, and dementia. I mean, not all one and the same, but there is some overlap here, right?
Right, right. So how we think about this is there's this spectrum of memory and cognition that goes along with aging, and there's normal cognitive aging, and then there's mild cognitive impairment. And mild cognitive impairment means that someone is not functioning in terms of their memory and thinking exactly how they should be for their age. So there's some very mild problems, but these types of problems don't interfere with their everyday functioning. So they can still manage their everyday affairs just fine. There's just maybe some mild kind of changes in their ability to do that. So maybe they just, it takes them a little bit longer to, you know, figure some things out, but they can get it done. And then when we're talking about dementia, that's when memory and thinking problems kind of progress to the point where they do interfere with someone's ability to function. So they're now not able to manage their medications, or they're having problems remembering to manage their medications, and they are not remembering to do other things that are important. They're having trouble paying their bills, and then it kind of progresses from there. So that really is a spectrum, and there is some overlap, but that's how we think about it.
Is all dementia Alzheimer's?
No, all dementia is not Alzheimer's. So Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia. There are other types of dementia, such as vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia. These types of dementia are associated with different types of changes in the brain, different types of kind of symptoms that present as well. So with Alzheimer's dementia, we as dementia experts and clinicians, we really look for the first signs and symptoms are problems with memory. So people having difficulty remembering recent things, recent conversations, recent events, and that kind of can tip us off to think that this is more of an Alzheimer's type of dementia. Vascular dementia can be associated with someone who has vascular disease, someone who's had strokes, the pattern of clinical symptoms we see is a little bit different. And then with Lewy body dementia, it's associated with some types of Parkinson's types of symptoms. So we'll see some movement types of symptoms that oftentimes will precede the memory problem. So it really is more complicated than just Alzheimer's dementia. And there is certainly some overlap there, but Alzheimer's disease is the most common type of dementia.
You mentioned that one of the goals with the research you work on is to get things identified early enough to be able to intervene. I mean, and how good are the interventions now, and how much better are they getting over time?
Mm. Well, that's an area that research is really focusing on in terms of trying to identify beneficial interventions. Right now, there are no pharmaceutical interventions that are effective at stopping the progression of the disease or altering the course of the disease, unfortunately. So right now, the best types of interventions that we have are preventative types of lifestyle interventions. And there's a lot of research to show that lifestyle changes, healthy diet, physical activity, mental stimulation, those types of things, if those types of interventions can be applied early on, those can have a significant impact on improving cognition, improving the course of mild cognitive impairment over time.
We have learned a lot today, and obviously we'll learn quite a bit in the future as well. And it's interesting to know that just the little things we do in life can be indicators of big things going on in our brains. Dr. Adriana Seely is at the Oregon Health and Science University. She's a postdoctoral research fellow in neuropsychology at the Layton Aging and Alzheimer's Disease Center there. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Vince,